we don't have access to our own lives if we're not living in the present moment. And it's something that, like, practically every person is experiencing. Like, every person, because so few people actually look inward and try to cultivate a sense of mindful awareness to, you know, alter their experience of existence. And what I would say is become more self-aware and have more intentionality in their lives and all that good stuff. Because it's really interesting, if you're living an unexamined or a mindless life, basically what you're doing is just reacting based on your conditioning, right? So practically every experience that you have, you're just reacting in some sense. You're not actually thinking about it in a mindful and thoughtful way. You know, there was just a series of events in your past that were all happening at random intervals. You know, there's just the random chance of, you know, where you were born, you know, what your life is like, what the ecosystem of your life is like, the random chance of people and places coming together and events and so forth. And those things all influence and condition one's point of view on the world and the symbols in which they apply to people and ideas and concepts and things and foods and musics and ideologies and so forth and so forth. And so those points of view are kind of like inserted into us without us, you know, welcoming them in a lot of ways. They just kind of happen to us. It's like people, I mean, I'm not exactly quiet about it, but whenever someone that I don't know too well, and I always start talking about music or something, they ask me what I listen to a lot of the time. It's like I listen to hip hop like 80% of the time. And that surprises people sometimes because they're like, oh, you're this calm, mindful, stoic fella. I'm surprised that you listen to music with such energy, you know. And first off, you know, balance is everything, right? But also, balanced by that, by, I mean, listening to something with a lot of energy is the anchor to me being calm and chill and whatnot. But also, like, it's because it's what I grew up with. That's what I would say. I'm like, it's what I grew up with. I can't help but not like it, because whenever I was like 12 years old, the whole East Coast and West Coast hip hop rivalries were going on, and you're at like the most impressionable age for culture. You're really searching to understand like what your identity is and who you are. And you're at the earliest stages of like approaching the runway to adulthood. And at the time, it was like the birth of that music. That was like, of course, it was really like really started in the late 80s. But like the early 90s, that was like that whole genre of music came into existence in the early 90s. And I was like 12 whenever it happened. And so, because of that, it just had this crazy impact on my perception of it. And it just like sewed it into my DNA to like, I love it. And I listen to it all the time because of that. It's like someone that came up in the, you know, in the 50s or 60s or something, they love jazz. It's like the same type of thing. Or someone that grew up in the South in America, they like country music. It's like, well, it's because it's like just where they were born. It was just in the water practically. And so they kind of can't help but not like it to some degree, because, and that's not to say that plenty of people that from the South don't like country music. I'm just saying in general, that's it. That's kind of how those things happen. But it happens with foods, with with ideologies, concepts, all that stuff. But also it gets down to, it happens to like emotional reactions, to how we deal with relationships, to how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about self-confidence, how we feel about our ability to trust ourselves, to listen to our intuition, to be fair, to be, you know, moral and ethical, to build deeper connections, to do the right thing, to think creatively and think wildly, you know, to be comfortable expressing yourself, to all those things. Those things also come from the same type of kind of stew pot of chance that happens in our lives. Like when we test the waters of each of those identifying things I described, like whatever our first couple of experiences are with those, greatly color, you know, how we'll feel about them forever until we revisit them. And so all that to say that because we're formed instead of forming ourselves, we have this conditioned behavior where we then, people go through life, if they never look under the hood, if they never look inward, they go through life and they're just reacting based on all of that stuff that's been pre-programmed. They're reacting like to every situation, to every conversation, to whatever. You know, if you talk to, it always kind of blows me away where people just have this, you know, you mention a food or something and they're like, ugh, I don't eat that. It's like, oh, have you ever tried it? And they're like, no. You know, it's like, well, what do you, okay, well, why? Why do you have that opinion? You know, it's like, oh, because my mom said that that was disgusting whenever I was a kid or whatever. There's just no room for self-examination or like a pause or curiosity or thinking about why you think or feel about a certain thing. So what's interesting is that if you live like that, and that is the majority of people, because you think about how many people are, as I said at the beginning, like into this stuff or have a inner life practice of some kind, it's very few. I mean, it's got to be less than 1% of people. I'm just guessing. Like, if you think 1 out of 100, maybe in certain areas there's more. You know, like in where I'm from and in Austin, maybe it's 6% or something. But what's interesting is that, like, when you live that way, you don't have access to your actual life. Isn't that weird? Because you're just reacting to whatever's happening, and you're not making thoughtful decisions. You're not redefining and refreshing your viewpoint and having the space and the pause to consider the information that you're engaging with at any moment and responding thoughtfully and with an updated sense of reality to those things. So because you are just reacting, you actually don't have access to what's happening in the present. You're being controlled by conditioning of the past, which is controlling and affecting you in the present and preventing you from getting in touch and actually connecting with the present. And then people hear, you know, someone might hear me say that and they'd go, well, what are you talking about? Even at your most conditioned time, you still understand what's happening in your life and you think about it and so forth. It's like, that's true, but you're always thinking about it afterwards. So it gives you the illusion that you have access to the present, but what's really happening is that you get into a situation, you react in a certain way, and then later you think about your reaction. So in that moment, you're thinking about, oh yeah, well, I was engaged with the present. It's like, no, you're thinking, you're in the present thinking about the past at that moment. Generally wishing that you would have done something differently. Because you're thinking about it in the present, it gives you the illusion that it happened in the present. So you don't have access. Isn't that weird? But whenever you, of course, cultivate more mindful awareness and you watch those impulses arising to react in a mindless way, you watch the conditioning trying to control you like marionette strings on a puppet strung into the, you know, halls of time in the past and your history, trying to control your behavior now, and you recognize that stuff as it's happening, catching your, you know, how you're reacting, how you're responding, the impulsive thoughts and behaviors and actions that are coming up that aren't really you, but they're just what's been programmed in there. And you get the quietness and the stillness inside to be able to see that stuff coming as it's arising, and then notice it for what it is and let it go and release it as it arises, recognizing it's an old impulse, and then resetting and thoughtfully responding in the present with how you actually feel today, and making a thoughtful, engaged response with what is, as opposed to a mindless, reactionary one. And that's how you get actual access to your life. That's how you can touch what's happening in the present moment truly and live intentionally and live in a way that's unfolding and exploring what is and what's life, as a way, as opposed to just sheltering yourself from what is. To continue to be open and expand and revise your relationship with your own awareness every step of the way. I mean, that's the key. That's how you get into this kind of Zen mindset. That's how you look back and see that you've been on a path of growth and continued evolution for months or years or decades. It's how you are always changing and redefining your identity as a person, allowing the story of who you were or who you should be fall away again and again and again and again, and allow what's arising in you today to emerge and to take the center stage until it's time for it to fall away. Really leaning into the impermanence of self and allowing yourself to constantly be new. That's how you have access to your life, and that's how you stay connected to the present moment and keep growing forever. Okay, my friends, hope you enjoyed that podcast. I certainly enjoyed making those combinations of mouth sounds for you. And until next time, much love.